Was für ein Popsong. Ich werde mich auf die Suche begeben, die ganze Welt abklappern, nur um sie zu finden. Zaghaft die Strophe, hymnisch der Refrain, das Ganze aber nicht zu süßlich, eher etwas aufgekratzt, gesungen von einem Mann namens Reckless Eric. Der unbekümmerte, waghalsige Eric, der eigentlich Eric Golden heißt. Geboren vor 61 Jahren in East Sussex und mit diesem Song Whole Wide World gelang ihm gleich zu Beginn seiner Karriere 1977 ein Eintrag ins Musikgeschichtsbuch. Dann allerdings ging er sehr eigenwillige Wege, verließ das legendäre Label Stiff Records, wo auch Nick Lowe, Elvis Costello oder Ian Dury zu Hause waren. Dann hat er sich in allen möglichen Musikgenres bedient, um seine Geschichten zu erzählen. 17 Alben gibt es von Eric. Seine Songs haben so unterschiedliche Bands wie die Proclaimers, Yola Tango, Cliff Richard und die Toten Hosen interpretiert. Hier ist das Original, Reckless Eric, live zu Gast auf Radio 1.
Und er ist keineswegs alleine gekommen, denn er hat zum einen seine Frau mitgebracht, mit der er auch schon sehr lange zusammen Musik macht, unterwegs ist, nämlich Amy Rigby. Hello, Amy.
Hello.
Und er hat darüber hinaus auch noch seinen Bassisten mitgebracht, Barry Payne, der auch schon bei den ersten Aufnahmen, die Reckless Eric gemacht hat, dabei war. Barry, welcome.
Hello, hi there.
Und jetzt müssen wir natürlich auch noch Eric begrüßen. Eric,
oh,
it's great to meet you.
I'm here, I'm in the middle.
Yes, you are. Great to have you here, all of you, of course. And I'd like to start with a question. I think a lot of people don't really know why you turned out to be Reckless Eric and not Eric Golden. Was it actually yourself who invented the name, or was it the Stiff Records label?
It was kind of like, it's a bit hazy because... Funny is, everyone was claiming benefits, and if they found out you also had a record deal, they'd assume that you had a record deal with some money attached to it, and of course there wasn't any money. So, it was the same for the Damned, of course, the Dave Vanium, who I can't even remember what his real name is, Captain Sensible, Rat Scabies. We just had different names every week.
Okay.
Because, you had to be incognito and under the radar and all that kind of thing because they would stop your benefits, you see. I mean, in those days they used to send people round to see if you were co-inhabiting and they did that by inspecting the bedsheet. I shouldn't tell you that. But, I mean, it was a very...
Why did you choose Reckless as a name?
I don't know who chose that. I can't even remember now.
Amy, what do you think? Is he a reckless person?
Well, he's actually very hardworking and responsible. But he has a side of, you know, a kind of madness. You know?
I have Yes, definitely a madness. But I'm a grandfather now, you know. I mean, like, I'm very old.
And he's a good driver.
I can drive cars. I get a lot of speeding tickets, but I can drive them.
Good.
Yeah.
It's good for the grandchildren, though, to have a mad grandfather.
I think so. It's very important. You know, you have to learn to do all these things. I'm getting really good at them, like nodding off in armchairs and stuff. You know, I did that the other day in a hotel room, didn't I, Barry? I nodded off and, he crept out of the room. It was obviously pretty boring being around me, you know. I was like, like that. You have to wake up and say, like that.
Let me translate a bit of it. Also, ich habe versucht, ein bisschen hinter diese Geschichte zu schauen, warum sich eigentlich Eric Golden Reckless Eric genannt hat. Also waghalsig, unbekümmert könnte man das vielleicht übersetzen. Und waghalsig passt insofern, als dass ihm Amy hier zum Beispiel bestätigt, ja, so ein bisschen Madness war schon immer dabei, hat er schon immer gehabt als Künstler. Und andererseits ist er ein sehr verantwortungsvoller Mensch, sagt sie auch. Er ist zum Beispiel ein sehr guter Fahrer. Macher. Das ist wichtig, wenn man viel auf Tour ist. Auf SEO jemanden muss man sich dann auch verlassen können. Und was auch noch eine interessante Geschichte ist, dass es überhaupt diese vielen Künstlernamen in diesen 70er Jahren zum Beispiel gegeben hat, hing auch damit zusammen, dass man, ja, man brauchte solche Namen, um eventuell auch mehrere Verträge abschließen zu können. Ne? Also da konnte man so quasi inkognito mit dem einen Plattenlabel und dem anderen was abschließen und dann einfach immer einen anderen Namen aus der Schublade ziehen. Da war man dann so ein bisschen undercover, hatte mehrere Optionen offen. So, talking about the Stiff Record times, that's of course interesting, because you dropped out of this crew pretty early. Why?
Not exactly early, but
I mean earlier than Nick Lowe and Elvis Costello. And
they actually dropped out of Stiff Records earlier than I did.
Oh, they did?
Yes, so 1976 I signed with Stiff and recorded some stuff, and then it came out in 1977, and I carried on with Stiff Records until about 1981.
So why is it that we all think of Nick Lowe and Elvis Costello when we talk about Stiff Records?
They made, Nick Lowe made, I think, three 45s for Stiff Records, was on two tracks on the Live Stiffs album, one track on the Bunch of Stiffs compilation album, and made an EP for them called Bowie, but he never did an album for Stiff.
But he produced a lot of albums.
He was the house producer.
Right.
And then Elvis Costello did his first album for Stiff Records, and there were some singles that came off of that. And, of course, he has two tracks on the Live Stiffs album as well.
And then he was off.
Yeah, well, what happened is it was run by two people, Jake Riviera, who was a kind of crazy visionary, another assumed name. I can't even remember what Jake's real name was. And Dave Robinson, who was a less visionary kind of person who had a kind of business head in some way. And they kind of didn't get on, so they split the label up, and Jake took Elvis and Nick, and they went off, and he formed Riviera Global and Radar Records, and they carried on with that, and that's when Nick Lowe's first album came out, and Elvis Costello's, you know, sort of famous
right.
records all came out on that.
Let me just try to translate that. Also nochmal die Frage nach diesem legendären Label Stiff Records, das mit dieser Zeit auch so verbunden wird, in Ende der 70er und London, diesen Übergang von Punk zu New Wave. Und die Frage, warum eigentlich Reckless Eric dafür bekannt geworden ist, dass er dort relativ früh ausgestiegen ist. Und er sagt, naja, das ist eigentlich gar nicht die korrekte Geschichte, denn Nick Lowe und Elvis Costello haben dort viel weniger veröffentlicht als er. Allerdings, Nick Lowe war der Hausproduzent, der große Produzent bei Stiff Records, und er hat nochmal erzählt, dass dort halt zum einen ein Visionär unterwegs war, nämlich Jack Riviera, und zum anderen ein Geschäftsmann, Jack Robinson, und die beiden haben sich irgendwann auseinander dividiert, und Jack Riviera hat dann Nick Lowe und Elvis Costello mitgenommen, und was dann passierte, ist Geschichte. Die beiden sind richtig groß geworden, und wie es mit Reckless Eric weiterging, das können wir vielleicht zumindest ansatzweise noch gleich ein bisschen besprechen. Wir hören erstmal einen Song aus einer späteren Zeit. Hier ist der Song You Sweet Big Thing. Reckless Eric mit einem Song von seinem Album Libid Group Elektrik, und ich finde, dieser Song hat Velvet Underground Qualitäten. It sounds like a Velvet Underground tune, right?
Everything does. I mean, like, it's like, I talked to Nick Lowe years after the whole wide world and said, how did you do that? He said, oh, it was quite simple. It was the Velvet Underground songbook, really. Everything, you know, and I thought, and then I listened to Nick Lowe and I thought, oh, yeah, everything he does is like the Velvet Underground. They had a huge influence. I mean, like, I was, you see, I was an art student in the early 70s. obviously, the Velvet Underground were big in art schools and not anywhere else really at the time. And
yeah, punk was very much connected
I suppose punk was
student and art scene, right?
Yeah, well, I mean, music in England was always. I think it was almost. You didn't go to art school, Barry, though,
no,
did you?
I didn't.
Barry
well,
was
I nearly did. I was a near miss.
For yeah,
art
but
school.
You didn't have to because you got started. Yeah. I gave you your apprenticeship,
yes,
didn't I?
Right, yeah.
yeah. Barry was. I think. Were you 17?
I was 17 when I first. I played on Eric's first album,
right.
The Stiff, first Stiff album. I was 17. Yeah.
Hier ist wirklich Geschichte im Studio. Sie merken das gerade, wenn die beiden Herren hier zum Beispiel miteinander sprechen. Denn Barry Payne, der Bassist, mit dem Reckless Eric auch tourt, war dabei, als Reckless Eric seine ersten Aufnahmen gemacht hat. Ansonsten ging es hier natürlich nochmal um Velvet Underground, von denen Eric auch sagt, ja, eigentlich steckt in all dieser Musik, die nach Velvet Underground kam, das ist natürlich ein bisschen übertrieben, aber in der Würdigung stimmt es dann irgendwie wieder, steckt einen Velvet Underground Einflüsse drin, wenn er sich Nick Lowe Sachen anhört, dann steckten da Velvet Underground drin und auch bei seinem ersten großen Hit Whole Wide World, das war in der Essenz auch Lou Reed und Velvet Underground. Did you, Amy, actually see them in New York, because you were part of, or you were watching the punk scene in the CBGBs, for instance, while Eric was finding his way in London, right?
Well, I went to art school too a little later in New York City. 76 is when I started, and so I went to see pretty much every band that played at CBGBs and Max's, and I saw every Stiff artist except for Eric. That was like the one night I went somewhere else. I don't know. Regret, you know, that I didn't go see him then.
Could have saved me a lot of problems and dodgy girlfriends.
Well, I don't know if we would have met up that night, but I feel like I hear, like, all around, you know, towns in America, people who saw Eric play on that first time, you know, the first times he came, and just legendary, great shows that people just rave about and remember, like, so powerfully to this day. So I really am sad that I chose the Elvis Costello. I did get to see Ian Dury also,
okay.
Which was, but I saw everyone really.
You saw
except
the Jam
for him.
And didn't like. Them,
I saw the Jam was actually the first British band that of the punk era that came. Maybe the Damned came first, but I missed them that time. But when the Jam came to CBGB's, I couldn't wait. I was so excited. And then I was like, I just don't think they're that good. But, you know, that was not the case with, like, X-Ray Specs. Why I loved all the bands.
You didn't see the Velvet Underground.
No, it was too late.
Like,
I saw
Velvet
Lou Reed.
Underground
okay.
Split up by 1970
okay.
Or 71.
Yeah,
it
was too late
anyway.
For the Velvet
Gut,
Underground.
Gut, also dafür ist Amy Rigby dann doch eine zu spät geborene, um noch Velvet Underground live gesehen zu haben. Aber ansonsten hat sie dann zum Beispiel in CBGBs, in diesem legendären Punk-Veranstaltungsort, wirklich alles gesehen. You saw the Ramones, for instance,
oh,
of course.
Yes.
Ja, die Ramones zum Beispiel, aber auch dann die Punkwelle, die aus England rüberkam, Ian Dury zum Beispiel, lustigerweise oder sagen wir mal kurioserweise hat sie ausgerechnet Eric nicht gesehen, als er in New York spielte. Vielleicht ja auch gut so, weil später haben sie sich dann getroffen und sind ein Paar geworden und ziehen zurzeit eben auch zusammen um die Welt mit ihrer Musik. Last question, because we're running out of time. We could talk endlessly about these stories. Now, you've been going around the world as a couple, as musicians with...
Yeah.
You have your own history, of course, both of you. But how is it to be a rock and roll couple?
I don't know.
On the road all the time together, sharing everything?
I think we did it in the first place because we wouldn't have been able to see each other if we hadn't, because we were always leaving home. But we made 3 albums together, and you know, I mean, it's what we do. It's like we do music, you know, so it's not a problem to do it together, and sometimes we're doing it apart. And
yes, I feel lucky to have been able to work together, because when we work apart, yeah, we don't see each other. And also, you know what it's like out there for the other person. And it's nice to, like, be there to be supportive and just talk over how things are, enjoy, laugh a lot, and take your home on the road with you, basically.
And sometimes take the road to your home, because I've read that you do these living room concerts.
It's called the homemade aeroplane. We turn the house literally into a homemade airport and aeroplane. We have a air hostess and everything.
The people come to us for those
passes. It's actually more hard work than going out and doing a show somewhere else, really.
I can imagine that. Okay, also das ist auch noch eine tolle Geschichte, die könnten wir jetzt auch noch erzählen. Die beiden machen zusammen auch so eine Art, ja, man kann ein Ticket buchen, wie wenn man einen Flug buchen würde für ein Konzert in ihrem Wohnzimmer, Wohnzimmerkonzerte zu Hause bei Amy Rigby und Reckless Eric. Ansonsten sind sie gerne zusammen auf Tour, teilen sich dieses Rock'n'Roll-Leben, denn sie sagen, ja, wenn wir das nicht machen würden, dann würden wir gar keine gemeinsame Zeit mehr zusammen verbringen. Es ist auch toll, sich auszukennen mit dem Leben des anderen, und das tun sie auf jeden Fall, denn sie haben beide ihre Geschichte, zunächst jeder für sich, in der Rock'n'Roll-Musik gehabt und geschrieben, und nun schreiben sie halt auch zusammen. Thank you so much for being here in Potsdam and enjoy your concert in Berlin. Come back, tell us some more of your stories next time. Okay. And we're going to listen to a song from an album you did together, A Working Museum.
Oh, right? You've got and I think, that. Where did you get it from?
Internet times. You get it everywhere.
Wow.
And I think it's a song about you too, about your relationship, right? Do you remember that?
Yeah.
Thanks for being here.
All true. Thank you.